From Georgia Public Broadcasting, this is On Second Thought. I'm Virginia Prescott. Happy New Year. It is a time for new beginnings, and we're checking in with a true Georgia personality who is embarking on his own open road, retirement at age 92.
It's becoming more and more desirable to retire back to the farm. I've read several articles, even a couple of feature stories about people whose hope and intentions were to leave city life behind and return to the peaceful life on the farm. Not a bad idea.
Everett Greiner spent decades as a farm reporter and producer for Southeast AgNet. He recently retired to the farm and joins me now on the line from Moultrie, Georgia. Everett, welcome.
Thank you.
So happy to hear that after 66 years, you've retired.
Yes, I figured it was finally time to give it up.
Well, we just heard from one of your last commentaries for Southeast AgNet. I am curious about the beginning of your career. How did you get into broadcasting? How old were you?
Well, I was around 20. But let me put it this way. Back in those days, every little small-town radio station would do anything they could to hire a live country music band mm-hmm. for a daily performance.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I went to the radio station playing rhythm guitar in a country music band.
So which station was this, first off?
WKTG in Thomasville, Georgia.
Uh-huh.
Well, after a few months of entertaining, the program director at the station offered me a job as a part-time disc jockey.
Hmm.
And that started my career in broadcasting.
So you didn't become a country music star. Instead, you became a country farm star.
Yes. That was about 1948 or 49.
Did you grow up listening to farm radio?
Well, not really, because let me tell you, back when I was a child, not everybody had radios. And if you had a radio, it was an old battery-operated thing. It wouldn't play half the time.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't like it is today, by any means. And you listened to the radio when you could.
What did you love about covering agriculture on the radio?
It wasn't really a love that was born. It was a love that grew.
A love that grew.
It was part of my daily air shift.
So for you, it was just a job at the top?
Yes, mm-hmm. I was just a member of the staff at the radio station in Moultrie. And we had a one-hour farm show at noon. And it was my job a lot of the time to do that one-hour farm show every day.
Mm.
And that's what got me into it.
So people were listening, do you think, tuning in on their lunch hour, listening to your show, listening to you talk about markets and weather. When did you start stretching out to commentaries and talking about the experience of farming?
In 1980, I left my job at the radio station and became the first full-time farm broadcaster for what was then Georgia News Network out of Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
A man by the name of Don Kennedy had put together a statewide news network, and he wanted to add a farm feature, so he hired me to do the farming, farm broadcasting.
What was your mandate? What were you meant to do?
Just to give a market report for information about agriculture, anything that pertained to agriculture of interest to farmers, whatever it might be, livestock, crops.
Well, weren't you one of the founders of Southeast AgNet?
Yes.
When did that happen?
Oh, gosh. Now, that's a difficult question because, because when Don Kennedy's original network began to falter, I looked for another job, and the current owner of Georgia, Florida, Alabama Network came to me seeking my help and advise in establishing a three-state network.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was delighted. I was absolutely thrilled at the opportunity, and I jumped at it, and I've been working with him and for him ever since.
So you're driving all over those three states? Is that part of your job?
No. I do little driving outside of my broadcast studio.
Mm-hmm.
I built a building, and I put a barn behind that house. And it had no use for a barn, so it ultimately became my broadcast studio and has been for the last 40 years.
Have you always lived in rural Georgia?
Yes.
So you never wanted to come to work in Atlanta where the network was based originally?
No. I have been all over the world. I've seen more of the world than most people, but I have never had any desire to live anywhere except in South Georgia. It's just a part of the state where I was raised, where I grew up, where I knew people, and I knew I didn't know other places.
I'm also imagining that broadcasting to farmers, you know, there are several networks. There's OTF Network on the farm. There are networks all over the country rural populations. That your role in speaking to farmers, which can be a solitary job for a lot of people, must put you in a really interesting position.
Well, I've never thought of it in those terms, but I suppose it did. In an unusual position anyway, because I was the only one in this whole area that did it.
So you were the voice.
I was the voice of agriculture in South Georgia especially, and most of Alabama and parts of North Florida.
But some of your commentaries, you've commented on tariffs, you've commented on, I don't know.
Oh, when it comes to the commentaries, there isn't a subject that I haven't covered more than one time.
Well, I see you've done some on the importance of drinking milk, for example, farm income, the trade war.
Yes.
To the farm family dog. Let's hear a little bit of that.
I think it's time somebody recognized the most overlooked member of the farm family, the family dog. They herd cattle, they guard property, they protect the children, they do many other important chores around the farm, and all they get paid is a pat on the head and a dish of Alpo. Dogs save lives. They alert owners to dangers. They're loyal, they're helpful, they're friendly, and what they get, that pat on the head and the dish of Alpo, is all they want. They're underappreciated and taken for granted. They're around maybe 5-15 years, but when they're gone, the whole family mourns. A friend of mine buried his old dog recently. He told me he had no idea how valuable she was until he discovered that 3 teenage children didn't do as much work as she did.
That was a pretty popular one.
Oh, yes, it was a classic. I consider it a classic, yeah.
What are some of the most memorable stories you covered as a farm reporter here in Georgia?
That's difficult to say because any news item in agriculture is important to somebody. And you're talking to that somebody, theoretically, all the time. So it could be a new farm bill. It could be foreign trade that impacted agriculture. It could be any number of subjects and the things that you had to report, and you needed to know enough about it to adequately report it.
What was your relationship like with the people who listened to your commentaries, which we should add were usually the most popular features on AgNet?
Well, I think I had a good image. I think people put trust in me and what I told them. And you can't always tell the exact truth, but you could try, and I always did that. You know, I mean, because things change. What you're talking about today may be something entirely different tomorrow. And you have to keep pace with all the changes.
What do you think are some of the big challenges for farmers now?
There are so many of them, and they're so, oh gosh, so difficult. It's hard to say, but it's always the same thing. Creating enough or growing enough crop to produce a profit at current market prices. And that is not easy. That is never easy. Let's take, for instance, peanuts, a major crop in Georgia. When farmers as a whole have a good crop of peanuts, the price comes down. Likewise, cotton. If you have a good cotton crop throughout the state, the prices come down. So you've got to make more to generate the same amount of profit. Farming is one of the hardest professions that there is.
Well, I'm wondering about that. You know, that there are just so many heart-wrenching human stories. We covered all the devastation down in South Georgia after Hurricane Michael this year. You know, ironically, right around the time you retired. So people were talking to us about some farmers just thinking they're going to give up or riding past their field and having to turn their heads the other way because they couldn't bear to see the devastation.
Well, Well, imagine you're a pecan farmer, one of the major crops in Georgia, and you ride through your orchards or your groves, and you see trees blown down or limbs broke off, and you got to remember now that if that tree is blown down, it's got to come out of the field and another one planted, and it's going to take 7 years to produce the first nuts. So you're talking probably a period of 15 to 20 years before you begin to produce a crop that will show you a profit. You see what I mean?
I do.
And it's almost that way with any crop.
You had this ability to capture the human side of what was going on, the real emotion in your commentaries.
Well, I think that was one of the things that I tried to do every day. I wanted to put feeling into what I was saying. And because you're limited in time. You see, you only have a certain amount of time to broadcast a commentary. You can't take all day. You can't take an hour. You've got to do it in just a very brief time. So you have to be prepared.
What was on your mind as you wrote those last few commentaries?
I suppose retiring, giving it up. not retiring, but giving it up, because I had done it so long. I never kept account, but I think it covered a period of about 15 years that I wrote one every, 5 days a week.
But 66 years in broadcasting, and you're 92 years young. Why retire at 92? Was it time?
I just got tired of working.
And how's life in Moultrie, the farm where your family has owned? You've lived for some 50 years. What's it like now that you're retired?
Well, it's still a nice farm. It's a well-kept farm and a well-operated farm, a very productive piece of land. It's not big. It's about 250 acres. Because that was a pretty good-sized farm back when I was a young man, 250 acres.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, when we started out in agriculture in Georgia, a man, a mule, and 40 acres was considered a farm.
What do you grow there now?
Whatever the farmer chooses to grow. We're big in vegetables, all kinds of vegetables. We grow a lot of peanuts. We're one of the biggest cotton-producing counties in the state. Very few soybeans and corn, which used to be major crops. But we can't produce enough corn and soybeans on a per-acre basis. In other words, in Iowa or Nebraska, they can outproduce us. So we let them grow the corn and we grow the peanuts. They can't grow peanuts and we can't grow corn.
Do you find yourself walking around thinking, you know, after so many years of being attuned to, oh, I could use this in my commentary, I could use that in my commentary. Do you find yourself opinionating to yourself a whole bunch?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Thinking ahead all the time, looking for what could be a good informative commentary, all the time.
Everett Greiner, will you do a huge favor for us?
I'll try.
Would you do a sign-off?
Well, now the way I concluded every day was, that's Ag Review for today. Everett Greiner, Southeast AgNet.
Everett Greiner, thank you so much for speaking with us.
This has been such a pleasure.
Longtime farm journalist Everett Greiner, he recently retired to his farm in Moultrie, Georgia, after decades with Southeast AgNet and other radio stations throughout Georgia.